named Constantine that came along, an emperor that gave all the church lands back. He said he had a conversion experience, and he gave all the lands back to the posterity of those that had had their lands confiscated over those 300 years, but he gave them back under license. And he created the first set of licensed churches. We know that as the Roman Catholic Church today. And here in America was the first time in history that we ended up with another start. People came in small groups from all over the world to establish his kingdom here. And the government that was established was one that was to reflect the principles of that kingdom. And that worked out all right for a little while. And you can hear more about it on the Jesus Factor. But the problem that we all have is that we so easily fall into idolatry. I was looking at some verses over in Jeremiah. Shall I not visit them for these things? This is Jeremiah chapter 9. Beginning at verse 1, it says, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, and they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord." And here in America, have we not, in many ways, and us sadly, guilty as charged. I find as I look at these things that for myself, and I can't speak for anybody else, how easy it is to fall after the example of Israel and to become idolatrous, not to have the Lord set first in my heart in all things. That's really what idolatry is all about. That's why the first commandment reads the way it does. When he's set first in our heart in all things, then he provides all the other blessings that we require. But we so easily, at least I so easily, fall into a mindset where anything but him is in the middle. It requires effort, it requires thought, and it requires love to keep him where he belongs. And as a result of not doing that for a number of years, those that call themselves Christians now worship in churches that are headed by something other than the Lord Jesus. And they don't even know it. And it's a frightening thing. And we have a chance. Once again, we're people that believe the word. We have an opportunity, perhaps, in the days to come, to bring that word to others and to bring that kingdom back to life here in this world. Maybe one way, maybe another. The Lord speaks of it in a number of different ways that it might happen. We might have revival. We might have an end to this age. We don't know. But we know that as his people, our mission, like the mission of those that went before us, is to speak and preach his word without reservation and without hesitation in all situations, regardless of what it might mean for us. And, I pray every day that I can do that. Sometimes I fall short. And I hope as time goes on that I'm strengthened in him and go forward boldly. Because that's what needs to be done if we're to take ourselves to a place where we're serving him the way he should be served. I'm glad to be here. I'm always blessed to be among the brethren here and the sister. And I won't say any more here, but I'm thankful. Thank you for a chance to say hi.
You know, we have a tendency to highly value that lack of knowledge as an out. But all the knowledge we need is readily available to us, and all over the New Testament. If I'm thinking 1 Peter, Second Peter, in Ephesians, where Paul's praying that you may become established and perfected in the wisdom and the knowledge of who God is in the person of Jesus Christ, is not undoable. It's not unknowable. There is no out. There is no out. There's no excuse. But I'm going to let you close it out.
Okay.
I've only got just a little thing. But you can come up here and get ready. We have been talking about how easily we accept our tendency to make excuses. You know, I really don't feel like church today. I'm tired. Didn't sleep well last night. You know, none of this stuff is an acceptable place for your mind to be in. The acceptable place for your mind to be in is I get to go talk about how good the Lord is. And what great news is the gospel. Because we needed Jesus Christ. We needed His blood and we needed His salvation. We needed His cross. And I was sitting here reading, and that whole thing is a mind culture of unbelief. And then when you give it space, it rules us. Right? We'll spend all day in bed. Now, listen, if I could sleep, I'm telling you, I'd be there. I can't, you know. So, you know, the Lord's been gracious to me and not letting me, I suppose. But the culture of the corruptness of our mind, Colossians, talks about, and it sounds very similar to Ephesians chapter 5, but there's instruction here for, you know, family relations and relations within the body of Christ.
Yep.
And I'm going to start on 3:16 because it's just, it's got two verses here. But the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. The first thing is, this sounds remarkably like Ephesians 5:19. But, so you know, this might be a second witness kind of thing going on here. And first, and secondly, with letting the word of Christ dwell in you and being transformed by the renewing of your mind and not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, whatsoever you do in word or deed, we have been talking about this. We get to go do this. This attitude, it should be in us. We get that. We have an opportunity here to go serve the Lord. This is great. Because there's nobody in here is less worthy of taking another breath to be able to be counted worthy to share the gospel than me. But nonetheless, I'm here and I get another chance to do this. And how sweet is that? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him for the opportunity. So, what are you giving Him thanks here for? Right? I get to go do this. This is sweet. And, you know, it doesn't exactly say that here, and it doesn't exactly say that in Ephesians. But that is truly amongst one of the things that when our mind's being transformed and renewed, we should view with thanksgiving the opportunity to stand up here and tell people how good Jesus Christ is. Or stand in our job and show people the kind of grace and mercy that was extended to us. The kind of grace and mercy that is at first look just looks like somebody wielding power, but it's extending grace and mercy in teaching and trying to maintain the fairness and objectivity of the Lord's. Because so much in the workplace is just subjective. I don't feel like dealing with this on parts of the people in charge. As a Christian in that position, you get to show how good the Lord is. It's because He's transforming and renewing your mind and giving you an opportunity to yet show how good He is to everybody else out there. That's all I had.
Sure.
Okay, Wednesday was a rough day for me. I was like all day failing. Sorry, Lord, I screwed up again. Sorry, I screwed up again. And Wednesday night, my cousin calls me, and I begin to tell her about everything that's been going on the past 2 months and how the Lord is awesome and everything that He's done. And this is a woman that I've always kind of feared telling the truth to, because she's knows all these big words that I don't know, and I just know that I'm not going to be able to understand anything she's coming back with. So I've always feared to tell her the truth. Well, she started telling me she's been going to seminary, and she's now a professional hospice
chaplain.
Yeah. And I said, so what do you do as a chaplain? And she said, she goes in and she comforts people either after they've lost a loved one or before they've lost a loved one. And I said, well, what do you comfort them in? And she says, well, this family she went to that day was Jewish, and she just went in and told them everything was going to be okay and just comforted them in their own beliefs. And it was like, just the Lord just took over. It was awesome. After all day I had failed at everything and forgot everything, and just it was awesome how the Lord I was able to step out of myself, and the Lord was able to work through me. And it was really a testimony in myself to myself that as screwed up as I had been all day long, as many things as I had messed up in, the Lord was still able to work through me. And even after that, I went back to my screwed up self and screwing up the rest of the evening. And sorry, Lord, I messed up again. But it was really awesome to see that as many times as I screwed up, as bad as I was all day long, He was able to preach the gospel through messed up me. So God's
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is unusual for me. I'm usually the first one up here saying something, and praise the Lord, I'm not this morning. I actually like it. It's nice. Praise the Lord. But that's an awesome testimony, Angie. That is a praise the Lord. Because it shows you how it's not about you and how good you are. It's about how good the Lord is.
Amen.
And that's what it's always about.
That's right.
I tell you, if it's about us, He'll shortly quicken to us that it's not.
Right.
And we'll be flat on our faces. And then we accept it. If we accept it, it's good. What does it say? If we endure chastisement, then we are His sons.
Amen.
Amen. So when we do fall flat on our face and we do make it about us and we do fall in that pit, we can count it all joy because we can look back to the Lord and remember what it's about. Amen? That is awesome. I enjoyed that testimony. And, you know, it's, you know, Scotty and Paul were saying some things up here that were, you know, was hit me kind of strong, kind of, you know, Scotty, a lot of stuff that you were talking about was kind of, just was like lights on what I kind of wanted to share this morning. You know, it's been a long week. It's been a great week. I'll tell you, I'm tired. I got some good rest last night. But it's been a joy. Yeah, I'd like to go to Philippians 3 this morning. Hopefully I can find it here. You know, and kind of what I've kind of been going through is that it's about being sold out for the Lord. You know, making it, you know, Scotty was telling me how he knows for himself that, you know, one of the first kind of love God. Well, first, love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. And I'm probably messing that up, but the point of putting God before all things. Putting God before all things. And that's what we maintain. That's what is our focus, is loving God. Then we will love one another. But if we're not loving God, you won't be loving one another. It's not going to happen. First, you love God. You put Him before all things. You know, okay, we can go back to Luke 14. If any man come to me and wants to be my disciple and hate not his brother, mother, sister, brother, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You know, that is putting the Lord first. And let me tell you, I look at in Philippians, I just want to kind of go over this, and I'll just start reading this, about where Paul was in this. Paul the Apostle was in this. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And there, Angie, as you were talking about how you were, how the Lord used you in that, you had fallen and screwing up. Was it what you were saying? That there was no confidence for you in the flesh there. That you had some great, mighty thing to say or anything like that. But the Lord used you in that because you knew. You had nothing in the flesh going for you. Nothing. All you had was Jesus Christ. You know, and that's where we're to stand. It's about how good He is. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. See, if any of you guys think that you can boast in the flesh, let me tell you something. You haven't walked what I've walked. I can do it more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Look, Paul had such a zeal for God that he was persecuting these so-called or these Christians. And he thought he was doing God's will because that these guys that were preaching Jesus Christ was against the God that of Abraham, who he was brought up. But when he found out the truth, that actually he was actually going against God, not doing His work, and got knocked off that high horse and say, and they said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why do you kick against the pricks? Who art thou, Lord, coming out of his own mouth? So here you have when Paul realized things flipped 180 degrees for him in a manner of a hurry, real quick. To me, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. All these things he had to boast in, All these, this, in the finding the law concerning zeal, persecuting the church, in the law blameless, all these things that he could boast in, he realized it was nothing. It was garbage. It was nothing. I count it loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. All these things are nothing. And when he became to find the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and who he was, and who God was, the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, when he found that out, all that other stuff he was searching for, all that other stuff he was doing, all that was just nothing compared to knowing the Lord and who he was, who he was. He counted, it was nothing to him. And you can see his zeal being switched around for the good. He had a zeal. And when it was about the Lord, man, all this other stuff did not matter. And nothing became before him. It was the Lord that came first in his life. Because you've seen it. You see, he had a choice there. He could cling on to this old stuff. But when he met the Lord, he could hang on to the Lord. He had a choice right there that he could make. Or maybe not so much. We know he's elected here. But he turned. He counted it nothing. But dung is what it says, which is poop, in other words. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Not his own righteousness. Not his own righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. That cloak that he gives you. What he's done, what he's fulfilled, we walk in that. He is our covering. We fellowship with the Father by Jesus Christ and what he's done. And he's laying it down. The law did nothing for him. His own righteousness did nothing for him. All this stuff that he's done has done nothing for him. Christ did it all for him. And that's what he counts worthy. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He wants that prize. He wants that enter in, that good and faithful servant. If we're going to have faith that the Lord's going to raise us from the dead to be with him or be caught up in the air with him, we need to be starting to practice that faith now. Now's the time. We have every day. We have opportunity to get to know him. And like Paul was saying, our attitude needs to be, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, I have the opportunity to serve you. Let me tell you, I was going to work yesterday, and I was thinking to myself, I had 2 days off. I had a good time and going to work. Oh, my goodness. That was a choice I had to make, Bubba, let me tell you. And I was looking at that couch, and I was tired. Let me tell you, I was tired. I was looking at the couch going, am I coming down with something? No, you're not. BS. That couch looks so comfortable. And I had to make a choice. You know what? There's not many people out here that have a job. You know, and this is an opportunity for me to go and serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Work as unto the Lord. We're not supposed to just preach the gospel. We're supposed to be living it. And I have that opportunity to go out in that world and live it. In whatever I'm doing. And we all do. We all do. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect. He's not saying he's attained perfectness. He's not saying he's He's got it all wrapped in a nutshell, but he is going forward. He's putting Christ first. Either already made perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. That apprehension there, that apprehended is laying hold on Jesus. And you know what? Jesus laid hold on him first. But see, this the whole point, you know, when I just looking at Scotty and what he was saying, this the putting, you know, I allow that way too much too, Scotty. As I described in Saturday, I allow that way too much. You know, in all things, we are to be putting Christ first and love. And when we're doing that, we can love one another. Knowing that yourself is chief of sinners, man. Knowing that how desperate you are for his grace, and without him you have nothing. And here we have Paul the apostle saying the same thing, responsible for most of writing the most of the New Testament. He has the same thing, but this is to be our mind, to be of one accord. And you know, if we're all putting Christ first, we will fitly knit together as a body, and nothing will divide us. They will know you by your love for one another. And if we're truly loving each other in the Lord, Satan won't be able to get in there, Bubba. Won't have a chance. Actually, he'll come up and see Jesus and say, I ain't messing with him. I'm out. I ain't messing with that body. No way. That's Jesus Christ, the God Almighty. And he'll come running with his tail between his legs. He will not mess with it. But it takes us, like Scotty's saying, putting the Lord first. That's what it takes. And we watch. If we do this, watch the Lord move as a body. Now, we see individual success all the time, and that's a praise the Lord. But how much more when we come together with that unity of faith? Taking ground for Jesus, bringing him glory, because we're servants. That's what we're about. Is for him. He's good to us. So we're about telling people how good the Lord is. And that we're not at all. We're not at all. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forgetting those things which are behind. You take that helmet of salvation. You know, I remember Steve's talking about that. You know, Jesus, you look towards the Lord. And you trust in his sacrifice. And his sacrifice is sufficient for you. You know what that does? That really just takes the ammo out of Satan's hand. He can't do anything with that. Because what does it say? He's just and faithful to forgive us of all sin. All sin. He can't hold anything against us. After him, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He pressed towards the mark.
Just like to the straight gate, or there's a press. It's a press. It's not something that just happens. It's the gate stripping your baggage and clearing you out to be able to receive from the Lord. And he's pressing. There's a press to get to the mark.
Amen. And you let that garbage come off you. And that's part of forgetting those things that are behind. And you're pressing forward. Because when you go through that press, there's going to be a lot of torn junk off you. Because we got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of garbage. Thanks for clarifying that even more, Paul. Thank you. But that's what it takes. Setting your face like flint towards the Lord to serve him. You know, that's what it takes. And let me tell you something. If the guys in Acts did it, if Paul the Apostle did it, If the believers did it in Acts, you've seen what they did. If the disciples did it, you know, you have that choice and you can do it. God's given you everything you need to serve Him without lacking. It's just us how bad we want it. It boils down to us and what we want to do. And that is my question. Is that what we want to do?
Amen.
Lay down our will and go forward in Him.
Amen.
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 So this week, let's think on these things. Let's put them first in all things. Wake up in the morning. Praise You, Lord. Thank You. I'm going to make the choice before I can think of anything freaking else. Before I go out of spiral in a matter of minutes. That's how depraved I am, folks. But He's good, and He's bigger than that, and He's defeated the Satan, and He's already won it.
Amen.
Let's walk in that this week. Take hold of that. Have it in the foremost front of our minds. Amen. Paul, did you want to say a prayer on out?
Point out a couple things here. One of the most dreadful testimonies of the Lord is, I don't know you. Right? You're reading out of Jeremiah that these people have assembled themselves, prophets who will tell them what they want to hear, and they have not known Me, essentially. That's really the testimony of Jeremiah and Isaiah, and
amen,
and the back and forth that the religious structure sets in place. People will tell them what they want to hear, tell them what makes them feel good, and the testimony of God about them is, they know not Me.
Amen.
Or I know them not. And that kind of brought me to Romans. And what I had been talking about earlier was, you know, this is not unknowable. We have everything we need here. The knowledge is, we don't have to love the unattainable knowledge because of it like lets us off. It doesn't let us off. And in Romans chapter 1, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's the end of not seizing the knowledge that you have that's available, been made available to you. Seek it with all your heart. He said in James said, ask for wisdom, and I give it liberally. The Lord gives it liberally, right? The knowledge is attainable. If you ask for it, you can receive it. If you pursue it in His Word, you can get it. If you submit yourself to the light, the authorities that are over you, and to the teaching that they have in place, the knowledge is not unknowable.
Amen.
And the fact that it has been here can serve as an indictment to you for not having acquired it.
Amen.
In the end, Paul says in Philippians, to wind it back up to what he was saying, because that was Paul talking about it there in Romans.
Philippians. Where are you going?
that, let's do 8, 3, 8, start there. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, do count them but dung. Verse 10, that I may know him, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. If there's any chance of me getting there, I'm going to do it. This is it.
Yep.
There is no other way. Not that I count myself as having already attained it. But this is this, that I may know him, that may I know him, the knowledge of him. This is one of these repeating things throughout Scripture that is really important that we understand, that because we don't know something, we don't get let off. You don't get let off for being accountable for it. It's knowable, and we have it.
Amen.
We need to seek it and be thankful that it's there for us to get.
Amen.
And thankful for when we do receive it, and thankful enough to share it when we get an opportunity.
David typed on there, all we need is Jesus Christ.
That's it.
Amen.
All right. Are we going to do a couple songs here? Let me close this out. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to spread your word. We thank you. We truly want to be thankful for opportunity to tell people how good you are and have them learn all that you would just grace us with, because the knowledge is there and it's available to us. Father, we thank you for that. And the unsurmountable goodness that I may know him, Jesus Christ, and the power of his resurrection. That is just such an overwhelming, gracious, and mercy-filled part of your nature that you've given us this gospel unto our salvation, and as a message and a sign to all those out there of how good you are, because you are. Father, we thank you. We just praise you and ask that you would just give us a zeal, not for knowledge in general, but for knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen.